Welcome to Cricket Only Better, episode 235. I'm Ed Hawkins. This is the ultimate betting guide to the IPL part two. And this is the show which tells you who wins the IPL and plenty more besides. Paul Krishnamurti of betting.betfair, have you got the winner?
I'm confident. And I'm very confident that between us, we've got it.
Richard Mann of sportinglife.com. I was going to ask you, have you got the winner? But I might say happy birthday.
Yeah, that's happy birthday sign from my daughter behind me for those who are listening. I have got the winner. I think I've got the finalists as well, hopefully. So should be a good show.
Oh, here we go. This is going to be a cracker. Paul and Richard reveal their winners at the end of the show, plus the top four finish. They also have the best bets. This is part two, and it is action-packed. We're analysing the top five teams in the betting. We've got power rankings for each of those teams on batting and bowling. We reveal which of those teams could field an incredible four elite players by the analysts' benchmarks. That's more than any other team in the tournament. We have the best top bat and bowler bets per team and the top five for each batting and bowling over the tournament, and the picks for the top tournament outrights for batters and bowlers, because there's some big numbers on those odds to play with Sportsbook. Let's start with Betfair Exchange. To ground us in the odds, Betfair Exchange outright looks like this. MI and CSK, 5.7 the pair. They cannot be split. Chennai, of course, are the holders. Gujarat, 8.6. Bangalore 9.2, the Royals at 9.8. Those are the teams we look at in this episode. If you want to know what we think about the following teams, LSG at 10.5, Sunrisers 13, Delhi Capitals also at the same price, and KKR also at the same price, 13.0. And then Punjab, your absolute rags at 16.5. We've already got a bit of market movement since we did part one. Players coming and going all the time, so do bear with us. As we go through these teams, we could be losing players. We could be getting players back. One of those is Harry Brook. He is out of the tournament. Good news for Richard Mann's Delhi Capitals to finish bottom pick from part one, which is still available, the 13s, and also the price to finish bottom. Richard, just quickly, Brook, a massive blow for Delhi.
Yeah, massive blow for Delhi, Harry Brook as well. And for England, actually. I was really looking forward to seeing him work with Ricky Ponting, who I'm pretty sure is a very good batting coach, at least. A bit of a blow, and a blow for Delhi because they can't replace him with Phil Salt, who did well for them last year. He's now gone to KKR. So who they get will be really important, because that middle order could be like, my pick would be Jake Fraser-McGurk, or the pick I think Ponting will go for. Obviously lit up the Big Bash, but this is a completely different ball game, isn't it?
Yeah, keep an eye on who Delhi go for. Could make or break their season, that pick, and check back with us on the cob, because we'll tell you if he's a good player or not. LSG, very popular in part one with both of you. That price hasn't budged, Paul, from the 13.0 on Betfair Exchange. Do we come across better teams in our analysis on this show, but don't give the game away just yet?
Yeah, we do. And I mean, the market's right in that respect. They're clearly not amongst the very favourites. And to be fair, that is what we saw in the first 2 years. They were very solid, made the top four. They never looked like the best side in the competition. And come the playoffs, they were clearly second best to the better sides. And I would recommend, actually, on that front, people listen to that first show just to hear Rich's brilliant analysis of Lucknow and their weakness against spin, because that again fits that trend, doesn't it? If that's their weakness, they can't play off spin, it's going to really hit them hardest at the end of the tournament on used pitches. So by all means, back them for the top four, but I don't think they're a particularly outstanding bet for the title.
Yes, do give part one a listen. It's an absolute belter, if we say so ourselves. It's a tricky old business trying to find winners in the IPL market. They've got about, must be almost 200 players involved. Are these players any good? Which ones are the best? Which are the worst? In an effort to try and work that out, we've used the filtering system, which the cricket analysts use. They call it benchmarking. players above or below the mean, elite players. So we're using the strike rate and average for batters and bowlers, using those benchmarks for those metrics, because we want to know who the good players are and who are the poor players. So if a player ticks both of those, he qualifies for above the mean or elite. Above the mean benchmark for batsmen is 26, average strike rate 135. For bowlers, 25.7 and 18.7. For the elite batsmen, we're looking at averages of 34 or more and strike rate of 150 or more. Bowlers, 20 average and strike rate 14.8. There you go. And there are some prizes I can tell you about who these elite players are and aren't. Let's get our first team on, though, and it's Rajasthan Royals at 9.8 to win it on Betfair Exchange, 7-2 for the final, fifth last year. Batting rank power is seventh. Ball rank, that's in terms of economy, is fifth. That's from last season's league standings. The best player to follow on your top individual innings bats markets is Butler at 38.7%, returning last 2 years. That's the filter for all these stats. Jaiswal, 29.1 for the record. And Chahal, Yuz Chahal, 35.4 returns. Top bowler last 2 years. Possible 11 for you. Butler, Jaiswal, Sampson, Powell, Hetmar. I'd rather have Ferreira, though, in there. Parag, Jarrell, Ashwin, Avesh, Bolt and Chahal. There are no elite players in this Royals team, but Butler and Jaiswal, very, very close indeed in terms of a few percentage points either way. To hit both strike rate and average. Krishna is out, but he performs below the mean in his career, so we're not too fussed about that. Zampa is a really odd, an odd signing because they're so well stocked for spin. Rich, really disappointing last season. What went wrong?
Yeah, I've been trying to think about this all day. Just one of those seasons that seemed to get away from them, wasn't it? I mean, they've got a really well-balanced team. You wonder if losing in the final in 2021 knocked the stuffing out of them a little bit. And that season, they were heavily reliant on Butler, who was just outstanding, the top run scorer in the tournament. He wasn't quite as good last year. Still strong, but not quite as good. And they need him to fire up top. Him and Jaiswal, this power-packed opening pair. And he just wasn't quite as good. And it's hard to know where we're at with Butler, actually. I think over the last couple of years, since actually the IPL where he completely dominated, he's just been a bit in and out, hasn't he? Looked good in the 100, poor World Cup for England. Whether he's on the decline or whether it's just a little bit of indifferent form, I'm not too sure. But I think if to win the thing, they need him and Jaiswal really firing up top.
Yeah, we'll probably talk about Butler and Jaiswal for top tournament bats later. Paul, it does look a well-balanced 11. But what if they get injuries? Is they've got enough depth in the squad? What do you think of this lot?
I think they're okay. I think, you know, the last 2 years, we were very positive about them. And 2 years ago, they could easily have won it. Last year, I think they were 9-4 favourites at one point. And then they just imploded really inexplicably. Now, I don't see there's any reason why they won't be there or thereabouts again. To me, they've got the two very best Indian young talents in Jaiswal and Jarrell. Jarrell, getting when he played last year, was superb. I've got faith in Butler coming back to form, you know, in this. He's got such a great record in it. You've got a really power-packed middle order. You've got Sansom, and then you've got Rotherham Powell in there. You've got Ferreira's in now, Hetmyer, Jarrell as well. And the bowlers, you know, it's a good bowling lineup. The one worry I would have had was Bolt being in decline. But then now they've got Avesh Khan, that covers that. They've brought in Nondre Burgas, good signing as well. You've also got a couple of decent Indian backup bowlers there in Saini and Sandeep Sharma. So I don't see any reason why they won't be there or thereabouts. And I think we should just put off that bad right at the end of last season as a bit of a blip.
Yeah, I think they were about 10 to 11 to make top four or something like that. And I did a lot of points on that. Disappointing the Royals. Best ways to play the Rajasthan Royals. Richard first, then Paul.
Yeah, apologies if I'm getting too cute here, but Trent Bolt's record in the first over of the match, his first over, he always takes the first over, is absolutely incredible. And you have to be aware of it, whether you're betting top batsman market for the opposition team, if you're going to back runs, you need to factor in that Bolt's probably going to take a wicket early doors, either buying or selling ones, by the way. So he just picked a handful from last year. So the first game of the season for the Royals, Bolt took 2 wickets in his first over. The third game, he took 2 wickets in his first over. The fourth game, he did miss one in between through injury. But his fourth game of the season, a wicket in his first over. The sixth game, another wicket in his first over. I could go on and then right through to the last game against Punjab. And again, was struck in the first over, second ball, same gone. And he's just fantastic with that new ball. He's on the money straight away. You need to factor it into your betting because Bolt's generally going to take early wickets.
Paul, beat that. That's bonkers.
That's a brilliant little angle. So I'm just going to, first of all, repeat what I've said all winter. J-Well, man of the match, rock solid bet. He's going to land those bets frequently. But also I'd say, you know, you're looking for a team to get, to record a really big score, the 220s, 230 plus. We actually saw a 257 from Lucknow last year. I think that's in play somewhere. I think that this is the team. I mean, somewhere, J-Well and Butler will tee off early and set it up. And then you've got that middle order, you know, Powell, Hetmyer, Ferreira, Durell, or three out of them. And I think, you know, they've definitely got where it takes to get over 230, 240 somewhere. Although I would also add as well, don't do it in their home matches. Do that in their away matches, because Jay Paul is not a particularly great place for runs. Very big boundaries.
Great. We're underway on your top five in the betting for this IPL preview show part two. We've still got the five most reliable batters and bowlers on individual innings markets, plus top tournament bats and bowler bets. And the best bets next are Royal Challengers Bangalore, the team we absolutely love to hate. If you want one strategy, it's to lay this lot when they go odds on. At 9.2 on the exchange to win it, Betfair Exchange, 72 sportsbook for the final. They were sixth last year. They've never won it. They rank fifth for batting power and sixth for bowling economy. Your best batter bet in individual innings, well, it's Faf or Kohli, both winning at 26.8% last 2 years. With the ball, there's no one, and we'll get to them in a moment, but we have made a point about highlighting Siraj's record here, 6.9% of wins in 29 games. Is an absolute stinker. For goodness sake, don't bet him. Kohli is below the mean benchmark. He's not even close to the elite, so he does not perform above the mean. Pattidar is a few ticks off an elite batter, a surprise. They let go an elite player in Hasaranga, so we need to see how they're going to fill those gaps. Saraf Chahan, left-hand bat, very, very strong record, 23 years old, a few clicks off elite from his numbers. Get him in the team, RCB. We have absolutely no faith that RCB are going to pick the right team or make good selections. As I said, they let go Hasaranga. There's no Hazelwood. They also let go Harshal Patel. Bangalore is an absolute road. They need bowlers. What in hell are they doing? This is a possible 11 for you. Kohli, Jax or Faf, Pattidar, Maxwell, Green, Chahan for me getting into this team, Longraw, Karthik, Deep, Topley, who is almost elite, and then Siraj. Paul, oh, we were talking about it off air. I mean, their selection policy is bonkers, isn't it?
It's madness. It's continuation of what we were saying about Sunrisers. You know, how do people come up with decisions in such an important tournament? There was no logic behind getting rid of Hazelwood and Hasaranga and Harshal and putting all your eggs on Rhys Topley, who's injury prone. Madness. Can't be positive, never been positive about RCB in any year, no different this time. All the usual problems, imbalance. I mean, the one positive signing is Cam Green, but they don't really need him, you know. And would he even get in, would they even use him as an overseas player? I don't really rate Kohli as a captain, he goes too slowly. Interesting, just an interesting point there that you think that Will Jax will get in ahead of Faf. I would have thought Faf's a banker, but
well, fair I enough. Mean, this is the thing with RCB, isn't it? I mean, I think Jax is a real cracking player. I think Faf's a little bit on the decline, but RCB may well completely disagree with me. You know, Jax is performing above the mean, and Faf isn't. But you know, this is reputational record, which we always talk about. Rich, we always say RCB won't win it till Kohli's no more, not no more, no more, but not in this, you know, he's retired. Is that fair?
Just really interesting, obviously, these numbers that we're crunching, and everyone will have a different view of statistics, and some people rather trust their eye and stuff. But I think when you've got hard numbers like that, it's really good for helping you just push out the noise for a minute. And there's always so much noise around Virat, isn't there? Every time he goes onto the cricket field, but the hard facts are there in black and white. He's not a top-class T20 cricketer anymore. Brilliant test player, brilliant one-day player. But in this format, he's not. And look, I don't want to criticise him too much, but he's probably good enough to be in the team. But the amount of money they spend on it means that they haven't had money elsewhere at the auction. That's why you've got a really imbalanced squad. And not only, obviously, is a balanced squad really important, a balanced 11 important, but particularly when you're playing your home games at Bangalore when it's a road, you need that six bowling option. And really, because they've chucked so much money at the batting, sometimes they don't have four frontline bowlers, really, what you'd say are good enough for this competition. It leaves them short every year. And yeah, they won't win it while he's there. I'd have Jackson as well. I'd pick Jacks and Faf, actually. But again, it probably means leaving out Cam Green then, and I don't suppose they're going to do that. One thing I would say, Glenn Maxwell has just been absolutely incredible this year. Big Bash, Cricket World Cup. He could carry them a long way because his form is exceptional, but he'll need to worry.
He'll need to. He'll certainly do it in one game or maybe a couple. So Maxwell's always a thrilling prospect on Man of the Match markets. Nuggets for this lot, bearing in mind Bangalore is a road. Our part one show has an in-depth ground guide, so check that out for angles on how to play these grounds. Paul, can you go first?
Yeah, so I mean, really said this is their problem. They don't have the bowling to defend at that ground. The stats say in 2023, 9 matches including T20 internationals, 4 of the first innings were 200 or more, so that should be a 5-4 shot on form, bound to be bigger. 9 out of 9 first innings were 170+. So if you like your odds on 3-1 on kind of bet, that's pretty solid. And if you like your both teams to score, this is the best ground. Both teams to score 210 won 3 out of 9 last year, so it should be a 2-1 shot, will surely be much bigger than that. And just a wider point as well is that one of the angles that we've seen time and time again with Bangalore is in running, that if during the tournament their outright price or their top fourth price contracts ridiculously because they're so popular. You know, you'll get a game early on where Maxwell does something amazing or Kohli hits a ton or something and the market will go crazy, and they're always a team to get against them at that point.
Yeah, great shout. Rich, what about you?
Just quickly on Maxwell, his bowling, he's not just a part-timer anymore. He's brilliant for Australia at the Cricket World Cup in India. And I think this is such a poor attack and I don't see much world-class spin anymore now Hasaranga's gone. I think when you go away, particularly somewhere like Hyderabad, Maxwell could be pretty much their main bowler in spinning conditions. He won't be priced up as their main bowler. Always price-dependent, but I'd be tempted to throw a few quid at him from time to time, top bowler market.
Marvellous. A mini break now to give you the top 5 most reliable top bat bets in individual innings for IPL coming up. Win rates in the last 2 years. We've got a minimum of 14 games qualification period. We'll go in reverse order. We've actually got 6 because KL Rahul for LSG and Sky Yadav for Mumbai, both returning 33.33% over the last 2 years. It's Sanju Samson for the Royals, 35.2. Quinton de Kock for Lucknow at 36.8. Butler for the Royals at 38.7. And top of the tree is Warner, who is evergreen at 42.3%. And I'm very interested to see what price Suyakama Yadav goes off. But I suspect we're going to get value across all of those with sportsbook odds. And look out for the boosts per game. Why is Shubman Gill not in that list, you might ask? Well, good question. We're going to get to him because Gujarat Titans are the next best in the betting. The runners-up are 8.6 for the winner for the win with Betfair Exchange. 11 to 4 for third straight final with sportsbooks, and they are 10-1 to finish bottom. Why am I talking about them to finish bottom? Well, let's get into it. Batting rank 4th, bowling rank 1st. Shubman Gill has been returning 30.3% of the time on top bats last 2 years. There's no value in Mohit at 21%. I don't think you're going to be getting 4-1 for him for top bowler. That's his return rate. Last 2 years, that's the best returning bowler, and that's because there's no Mohammad Shami. He is injured and out of the tournament. It's a major blow. There's no Hardik Pandya, who's gone to Mumbai. So big problem. Big problem if they pick the wrong team. Let's really get into this now because it's key, because Gujarat obviously going to be fancied. Now, they could pick a possible 11 with six players below the mean benchmark. Here is that team. Gill, Sahar, Sai, Kane Williamson, Shankar, Miller, Tawatia, Rashid, Mohit, Spencer Johnson, Umesh. I think that team struggles. If they get the pace, and now Kande has got a strike rate of 13 into this team. He is elite on both bowling average and strike rate. Get Batter Manohar up the order, who is above the mean. Drop Kane Williamson and get Omarzai, the Afghan all-rounder, into the team. He's got some tremendous numbers behind him, all-rounders, and they go well. Richard, they pick the worst team that I mentioned, don't they?
Of course they do, yeah. Kane definitely plays, doesn't he, Williamson? I could kind of get on board with it if he was actually going to open with Shubman Gill and then leave it to that powerhouse middle order. But if he bats three or four, I think it could hold them back. But I think you're right. I still think they're a pretty good side, though. I think in Rashid and Mohit, they've got two of the... Well, actually, the three leading wicket takers last year were Rashid, Mohit and Shami, that they're three gun bowlers. So that tells you how good the attack is. I think Spencer Johnson's a really good pickup. I know Australian pacers have generally been let down in this competition over the years, but I have the firm belief that Johnson's just that little bit different left-arm angle. So I think they're a really strong side. Just whether they're quite good enough. I mean, they should have won it last year, really, and whether they're quite good enough to take another step forward now, given the players that they've lost or are missing, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I should clarify, Kane Williamson below mean, Sai Sudarsan below the mean, Shahrukh Khan below the mean, Mohit below the mean, Shankar below the mean, but only just... Rashid Khan, we would consider him to be an elite player. He actually isn't on those benchmark figures that I mentioned. You should get Kishore, the pacer, into this team as well, because he's a good player. We'd probably expect Spencer Johnson to be elite eventually. Paul, it's tricky how we play Gujarat, isn't it? Because it's all based on whether they pick the team we think they should based on these benchmark figures. So is it a wait and see policy, or do we be bold and take that 10 to 1 to finish bottom, or a lay for them to make the top four?
No, I couldn't have the 10 to 1 finish bottom. So no, I could possibly land for the top four. I can see your point, but no way 10 to 1 bottom. Look, when we discussed this a couple of months ago, the earlier IPL show we did, I defended them as being able to cope with losing Hardik Pandya because other players came through last year. There's still a lot to like. Shubman Gill, fantastic. Rashid, fantastic. Vijay Shankar stepped up several leagues last year. Rao Tawati is a good finisher. Mohit had a great season. Josh Little's a good death bowler. And you remember they won the group stage comfortably both times. So, you know, they really do have pedigree. But Shami is such a huge loss. And I think to lose him and Hardik, not only have you lost two cracking players, but it changes the whole overseas players' dynamic. You know, now you're probably going to have to leave out Josh Little, leave with Spencer Johnson. And I'm a sceptic of Spencer Johnson personally. Like, we'll wait and see, but how many times we've seen it with Australian bowlers in this tournament. So for me, it is a way to see. I'm not backing them, but I do still respect them because they have been such a solid outfit the last 2 years.
Yeah, Shami, top wicket taker last season in the tournament. Richard and then Paul, best way to play with your G&Ts?
I have nothing majorly strong. I agree with Paul. Shankar really stepped up last year. And I've talked before about man of the match markets last season going often to impact players. And Shankar, he didn't actually win it, but he was so close in and around, you know, quick fire 30s and 40s at the end. And if he takes another step forward this year, he could be in for a big season. Shubman Gill dominated the man of the match market for these last year, by the way. They won 10 from 40. I think Gill was man of the match maybe four or five times. But whether he can repeat that at nearly 900 runs season. I suppose that's another negative about this team, isn't it? They couldn't win it last year. Gill scored 900 runs in a season. I mean, is he going to do that again? It's a massive ask.
Paul?
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point as well. I mean, this is a side that wins games by just doing enough. Can it really continue to do that with those losses? I mean, on these things, I would say I've got Shubman Gill down as just a super reliable player for both top bat and man of the match. And one thing I would just disagree with you about is I could back Mohit Sharma top bowler, definitely, because firstly, I mean, he was really outstanding last year, so I wonder how much those numbers take in other years when he wasn't really at that peak. He's guaranteed to bowl at the death all the time. And because Rashid Khan is in the side, you think he probably will be a bit overpriced.
Okay, good stuff. Next up, we've got Mumbai Indians, joint favourites at 5.7 on Betfair Exchange to win IPL. 17-10 with Betfair Sportsbook to make the final. We're going to deal with them now because CSK are the holders, so they get top billing. I think that's fair. Mumbai were fourth last term, but it was a bit of a struggle for them with minus on the net run rate. They are the most powerful batting team in it, but they are the worst team for economy. Well, they were last season, but Jasprit Bumrah is back, hopefully. Let's hope he doesn't get injured. Your best batter to follow is Surkamal Yadav with a returning rate of 33.3% last 2 years. And we just make the note that Rohit Sharma has a 10% return over 2 years, which is absolutely appalling for the price that he'll be going off at. Don't bet him, please. With the ball is Piyush Chawla at 37.5. Bumrah has a win rate of 21.4. Hold the phone. If they have their heads screwed on, they could field four elite players in Surkamal Yadav, Wat Hira, the middle order blaster, Gerald Kutsir, their pickup from Yorkshire, and Tashara, the Sri Lankan pacer. Bumrah, just a few clicks shy of that elite status. Hardik Pandya is absolutely fantastic numbers, and Tilak Varma also is just shy of those elite numbers. Tim David isn't even getting in my possible 11. Who's another player who hits above the mean. So Rohit opening the batting. I'd like to see Vishnu Vinod actually come in for Ishan Kishan because that actually makes them stronger. Vishnu Vinod's got some tremendous data behind him. Surkamal Yadav, three. Tilak, Hardik, Vadhira, Nabi, Kutsir, Chawla, Bumrah, and Tashara. Paul, have I tempted you? Because not wanting to give the game away, you're a bit of a CSK man, aren't you?
Yeah, you have totally. This is an absolutely incredible squad. It just looks so strong. I mean, I do think that probably the biggest single angle you could have is to have that solid Indian core. And they've guaranteed to have seven top-class Indian players every single game. I mean, even in addition to the players that you mentioned, you know, when Bumrah, Yadav, and Hardik Pandya are just priceless. But Akash Mabwell isn't in that 11. He had a cracking season last year. Wadira came in. He's hardly one of their big names, but he had a cracking season. The overseas players is unbelievable. I mean, I haven't got Tim David in either. You've got Madishanka, who looks a bit of a star. Sri Lanka, you've got Vifaksha Sesharia, Kutsir. Didn't mention Jewel Brevis. And then even like the one weakness they might have had was spin. But two things there. Their home ground, Wankhede, isn't really a spinning ground anyway. It's not that important. And when they need it away from home, they're just bringing Navi as the overseas player. So I just don't see the weakness. And to me, the real factor is the return of Jasprit Bumrah, who will transform any side. And OK, he isn't elite, but I'm going to quibble with those stats in a minute when we do the next bit.
Rich, unstoppable, Mumbai, or stoppable?
They have to go really, really close, don't they? I mean, they've got everything. Obviously, we talk about franchise pedigree, IPL pedigree. They have that. They've a tremendous record in this competition. I think Hardik coming in, we think, as captain. I wouldn't actually be too sure about that, actually, from rumours last few days. But it looks like Hardik will be captain, give fresh impetus. The middle order just looks power-packed. I'm hoping Paul's going to talk about them for late runs in a second, because they've just got so many good players in there. Tilak Varma's a player I've got high hopes for. We didn't mention Berendorf with the ball, who I've never been that crazy about in this competition, but he's formed for Australia. He's been probably their best T20 bowler over the last year or so. brilliant squad. They've got to go really, really deep. I think the potential negatives is Bumrah to get injured, but India clearly looking to manage him in the recent Test series. And can they get a settled batting lineup? Because they've got to try and keep people happy. I wouldn't like to see them chopping and changing too much, but if they're set on a settled top six, they're going to be awfully hard to beat.
Okay, let's go to the best ways to play on Mumbai, Paul, and then Richard.
Yeah, so as Rich just said, this is Wankhede Stadium, the run trends. This is one of the big, big IPL angles. Paid dividends galore last year in the IPL, paid dividends galore in the World Cup. This is the place for late runs. In the second half of the innings, after the power play, 12, 13 and over is perfectly possible, and anything less than 10 and a half really is poor. So you can absolutely bank that as a strategy backing teams to go over. But here's the thing about Bumrah. Look at Bumrah's average in his last two IPLs. His economy was 7.45 and 7.18 in those two things. That's despite bowling at least two overs at the death and half his matches at the Wankhede. Now, if you're going for 7.45 at the death or anything like anything under nine, you're going to win the game. And I just think that home advantage is going to be absolutely crucial for Mumbai. They're going to be really hard to beat for those, for all the reasons we've said, but particularly having Bumrah back.
Richard?
Brilliant analysis, Paul. Just what Paul said about runs, big runs at the Wankhede and late finishes. I can't do better than that.
Okay, fine. We're almost there. We've got Chennai Super Kings. The holders coming up next. Do they win it again? We're going to find out in a second. Then we're going to name picks very quickly for top tournament, bat and bowler, top four, the outright winner, the best bets. But we've got to finish some business off with the five most reliable bowlers on their individual innings markets. Look for your boosts, perhaps, with Betfair Sportsbook. Reverse order. Avesh Khan with Rajasthan Royals, 27.2% of the time. Natarajan from Sunrisers, 30.4. I've got asterisks by his name because I think he actually might be on decline, and we talk about him in part one. Bolt, Richard has already given you some bonkers stats on Bolt, 31.2% last 2 years. Again, 14 games, your qualification period. Chahal is next best with Rajasthan Royals at 35.4. Chawla squeezing in there, surprisingly, with a win rate of 37.5. And excuse me, he's top. I put him in the wrong order. Rabada, 36.8, second to Chawla. Rabada is with Punjab, of course. Righty, we move on to Chennai Super Kings. 5.7 for a second successive title on Betfair Exchange. 15-8 with Betfair Sportsbook for a final appearance. Number two on the batting rank. Number three with the ball. About as solid as a rock, this lot. Gaikwad. 20.6 last 2 years is your top batter. And Patharana, 21.4%, a favourite of Paul's for top bowler. They have lost Devon Conway, who was their top run scorer last season. Deshpande is a surprise elite player. I thought he was rubbish. What do I know? MS Dhoni is not an elite player, so do not start atting me at cricket betting on Twitter or X or whatever it's called. They do have problems up top of the order now that Conway's gone because Rahane, Ravindra are below the mean. Ravindra particularly low below the mean. Could they pick 19-year-old Sheikh Rashid, who is a burgeoning talent? That'd be quite nice. They do give young players a chance. Possible 11 for you. Rahane, Ravindra, Mitchell, Doob, 19.4% is going to be a top back value last 2 years win rate. Moeen in this team, Jadeja, Dhoni, Thakur is a fantastic all-rounder. Deepak, Deshpande, Patarana. Paul, Conway, big loss, ? Top bat and each way winner last year on the outright. What do you think?
It is a loss, definitely. And him and Gaikwad were really reliable last season, so that is a big negative. But it is coverable. I mean, they've picked up some great players, and Daryl Mitchell can open. He opened for New Zealand in the World Cup. Ravindra can open. You mentioned Rashid. You've also got Samir Rizvi, another brilliant young batting prospect, so he might come in. So I think they can cover that. Also, other good pickups is they've got Shardul Thakur back from Delhi, and who well, I'll get to him in a minute, and Mustafiza Rahman. So for me, the case for Chennai revolves around their trusted formula. You bet very deep, and there's where Shardul comes in. You've got an all-rounder there who can come in at 8 or 9 and hit sixes. Very, very capable with the bat. Bat deep and have a very strong spin contingent to squeeze teams at their home ground. And they're, you know, take your pick, Jadeja, Thikshana, Moeen, Ravindra, Mitchell Santner. And then finally have the great death bowler, which was Dwayne Bravo for years. And then last year, when Pathirana came in, that made all the difference and to me turned them into champions. Now, the negative, the only worry for me there is that Pathirana hasn't been as good since that IPL. And I wonder if he's been found out. It's a very unorthodox bowler. So there's a bit of a wait and see with him. And if he doesn't, then Deshpande comes in. And I never really rated Deshpande. I thought he was a bit expensive. So I'm not quite as confident as I was a couple of months ago, but you've still got to fancy to be there or thereabouts for that side.
Remiss of me, actually. I've made a rick on your top bowler to follow. It is Thakur, actually. Because he's come over to his Chennai team. I forgot to mention that he's moved over. So 25 games the last 2 years. He's returning 24%. So he's pipping Pathirana. Rich, when you've got a short price favourite like this, you need everything to go their way. So you need all the players available. You don't want any negatives. So what's the view?
Yeah, I mean, look, Conway, on the face of it, looks a big loss. But in a funny way, it might help them because it's an overseas player. It frees up a spot. Ravindra, they've paid big money for. They might not have been able to get him in. But now he's in. And he opened the batting in the World Cup for New Zealand in India and did really well. But then he gives them another 4 overs of spin, potentially, if conditions allow. So in a funny way, it might give them 2 cricketers for the price of 1. And if you look at the squad from last year, they had Ben Stokes. They had to pay a lot of money for him. He basically hardly played and they were still good enough to win the thing. Stokes has gone now and that has freed up money for Ravindra and Mitchell and obviously the brilliant seamers as well. So I actually think they were better. Even with Conway's injury, I think they were a better squad than they were last year. I agree with Paul Pathirana as a worry, but they probably needed an express paceman in there. But other than that, I mean, this is just rock solid, isn't it? Pedigree's there, experience is there. They're going to be really hard to beat. And I think I'll probably put them up this way. You can back them now and you will definitely be able to get your money out in the latter stages because they're going to win so many games at home with spin that they're sure to go really close to finishing in the top two. And if they get in the top two, they're going to be a hell of a lot shorter.
Let's move on to betting nuggets. And I'm going to start pressing you for time because we are running out very quickly. Any nuggets on Chennai, Richard, and then Paul?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Gaikwad. He's done really well in this competition, and I think Chennai will bowl teams out, bowling first, very cheaply, and it means that betting the openers becomes very attractive because they might only be chasing 140 and 50 not out wins you it.
Paul, quicker than that.
10 or fewer sixes in their home games. Lands 59% of the last 5 years, 55% last year.
There you go. We've got players for all five teams and all the data and stats and trends and what have you. That wraps the top five in the betting. The bottom five in the betting are available in part one. Best bets and finishing positions coming up. But we mustn't neglect the top tournament bat and bowler markets with Sportsbook. They're available now. The prices, they're big ones. Let's look at the batters first. Only 2 winners in history have not been an opener. Gill last year beating Pfaff and then Conway, who are all 3 openers, of course. Average runs per innings required to win this thing is 48. Jaiswal 9-1 joint Fav with Kohli. Gill 10-1. Butler 16s. We talked about him. Prab Singh 100-1 each way pick from me in the first show, part one. A name and a number, please, Richard, and then Paul.
Faf de Plessis 20-1. Gone really close twice in the last few years, and he'll make loads of runs at Bangalore.
Gashad Vijay Well 9-1.
Nicely done. Death bowlers are generally the way to go. That trend returned last year after some spinners dominated the previous year. Shami winning, of course, for Gujarat Titans in 23. Select prices for you is Betfair Sportsbook. Bumrah 9, Stark 12, Pathirana 16, Spencer Johnson 40s, Tashara, elite player, who we hope Mumbai get on the team sheet. A name and number, Paul.
Sorry, two here. Mohit Sharma, 33-1, second last year. And 50-1, Shardul Fakhour, who was third in 2021 when last at Chennai.
Rich.
Yeah, and Mohit Sharma as well at 33-1. I think that's just a wild price.
Okie dokie. This is the ultimate betting guide to the IPL, the show which tells you who wins the thing and who finishes in the top four. Here we go. Paul, I'm coming to you first. The winner and top four are...
Okay, going backwards. Fourth, Lucknow Supergiants. Third, Rajasthan Royals. Second, Chennai Super Kings. Winners, Mumbai Indians.
Richard Mann, the winner and the top four are...
Yeah, number four, Gujarat Titans. Third, Lucknow Supergiants. Mumbai Indians will be runners-up to CSK, who will win again.
Well, you heard it here first, but we're not done. We need best bets. Where are we going to place our money? Paul and Rich have got 5 points each to spend on this episode. Pens and paper at the ready. Richard and then Paul. Or if you want to do it the other way around, go for it.
Yeah, I'm going to put up Chennai Super Kings now and with a view to trading out when they're finishing the top four. So I'm going to have two units on Chennai Super Kings. I'm going to have one unit on Gaikwad at 14-1 to be top tournament run scorer. One unit on Faf du Plessis, who I've already mentioned to be top tournament run scorer, 20-1. And the final unit, one unit, Mohit Sharma, top tournament bowler at 33-1.
Okay, so... adding to the 1 point I had on Sunrisers to finish bottom the other day, I'm going to have a point, 1.5 points, sorry, on Delhi to finish bottom. Then they've lost Harry Brook at 6-1. I'll have 1 point on a Chennai-Mumbai final at 14-1. Half a point, Mumbai-Rajasthan final, 17-1, 16-1. Half a point, Chennai-Rajasthan final, 17-1. Quarter of a point each way, Shardul Fakhour, 50-1, top bowler. And final point, Yashas Vijaywal, 9-1, top bat.
There you go. That's the IPL preview. Part two, IPL betting guides all done and dusted. The ultimate betting guides to the IPL. Top 235 is ticked off. Those are the best bets for the IPL. We've told you who wins it. The COB covers the IPL throughout the tournament. Betting.betfair has all the team guides, outright markets, analysis over there, and we'll preview every single game in the IPL. We'll be with you throughout the tournament, rebranding ourselves as the ultimate betting hub for the IPL. We will see you next time.